Blog Talk Radio.
Voice of Destiny brings you your favorite Christian authors, speakers, and filmmakers each week. Listen in as our guests teach and encourage, listeners share their stories, and we go live to the front lines of what God is doing across the world. Now, get ready for the Voice of Destiny.
Excited to have Lou Engle on the line with us today. I want to just move ahead and begin our conversation, but let me just let our listeners know God is moving in the nations of the earth. God is strategically mobilizing his people at this unique hour, and I believe he's hand-picking people. How do you know if you're hand-picked? I believe if you just say yes to God, he's looking for people. He's looking for a voice on earth that says yes to what he's doing. Some people preach the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as if it's reserved for only a select few. But we see in the book of Acts that the outpouring of the Spirit is reserved for all flesh. And I'm grateful for people like Lou Engle who are really sounding this clarion call in this hour, mobilizing the church and preparing us and stationing us for this great move of God that we're really on the precipice of the cusp of. We're seeing it in part. But there's so much more. So, Lou, it's such an honor to have you on the program today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, where to begin? I have all the questions here for your book from your publisher, and I want to go through some of those. But as the Holy Spirit leads, I just want to talk about some of these concepts. And really, let's begin right here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the ministry of the call? And how that was birthed and what brought you to this point with Azusa Now?
Yes, well, thank you. And, hey, thank you for asking me to write, I think it was the foreword for your book, right?
Yes.
That's so awesome. Well, I'm married 34 years. My wife, Therese, I have 7 children. I've been involved in the prayer movement basically for 30 years in prayer and revival. But it was in 1996, the call began to be born. I was in a fast for 40 days in California, and I had a dream in which I was supposed to be giving a letter to this young boy named Joel. And in the dream, I'd lost the letter. I was frantically looking for it. And I woke up, and the Lord said, "Don't lose Joel's letter." Joel chapter 2, blow the trumpet of Zion.
Yes.
Fast, gather the peoples, and the Lord spoke to me, gather the youth of America to fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
That was the initiation, Larry, that would lead to the call. And then in 1999, I had actually declared that the young people were going to go to the mall in D.C., and it would be a Luke 1:17 fasting and praying, John the Baptist kind of movement. I prophesied that in 1997, and then 2 years later, I found myself praying, how do I turn America back to God? I experienced these groanings in intercession, and I knew the Lord was calling me to something, and then a woman came to me, and she said, "You don't know who I am, but the Lord told me to pay your salary this year, that you're going to start something with the youth of America in prayer and fasting. It will change the destiny of the nation." Mm-hmm. And she began to do that. She's paid my salary for 16 years.
Wow.
92 years old, burning that God would turn this nation back. It led to this supernatural series of events that we did a Joel 2 solemn assembly September 2nd in D.C., and 400,000 primarily young people gathered to fast and pray. And it launched the movement of the call, which is call a fast. And 24 gatherings, solemn assemblies, stadiums, arenas, great fields, and it's led us to this moment where we're beginning to move into what we believe is a new day, Larry.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is your vision for Azusa Street? For really, it's been 110 years since Azusa Street, the great revival in 1906, and we know there have been these powerful prophetic words that were spoken back at that time. What was William Seymour, and I know Wigglesworth and Mariah Woodworth Eder have all had these prophetic words pointing really to the hour in which we live. So let me ask you this. What are you expecting, believing for? What is your vision for the Azusa Now event that's coming up on April 9th? And what do you envision that's going to do?
Well, it's my longing is that in a day, what can God do in a day? Mm. I think there are certain days that are flashpoint moments. You know, the solemn assemblies, Joel chapter 2 and others. I believe it's a flashpoint moment into what I'm believing is a Jesus movement. Clearly the Lord spoke to us through the call that it was a Luke 1:17 movement, small as maybe it was with the whole body of Christ, but it was a fasting prayer movement. 3-4 years ago, these YWAMers came into my living room and said, there's coming a shift to the call. You will not be just fasting and prayer, but the proclamation of the gospel. Signs and wonders. And stadiums will be filled, and Billy Graham's mantle's going to fall on the nation. 2 days later, as we were ending our prayer time with these YWAMers, this prophet called and said, they're coming a shift to the call. He hadn't known anything. And it'll be the proclamation of the gospel. Signs and wonders. And stadiums will be filled, and Billy Graham's mantle's coming. And this is what happened in my heart. I believe that God begins to speak to us. There's coming a shift, and it's not John the Baptist. This is what I'm believing for that day. It's not John the Baptist. It's a Jesus movement with signs and wonders and miracles. On that day at Azusa, we're believing for a prophetic shift in the new era of American history. The signs and wonders breaking out, a third great awakening. Everywhere people are getting saved. And we're believing as we unite together, we believe God is on that day, God is going to release an anointing of John 17, the unity of the body of Christ, because only the united church can heal a divided nation. And then we're going to move into signs and wonders with that Bethel movement. And we're asking God for a massive shift into a third great awakening in America. That's my dream on that day. And to pray for a releasing of a massive evangelistic movement that will go into the streets and overflow with power. We're believing for an outpouring of the Spirit, Larry.
Oh, and Lou, I mean, every time I hear you, every time I hear you minister, even now, you know, one of the things that I feel like you summon us all to is what I'd call the more of God, that there is more, that we need to be. And it's interesting because I feel like we have a very similar perspective. Some people, even in supernatural Christianity and signs and wonders circles, ask the question, well, why do we need to be crying out or praying for more of God, for more of God to move, for more revival? Why do we need to be praying for that when we're already seeing signs and wonders? And we in the last 20, 35 years, we've seen this kind of concept of normal Christianity where people are seeing people get healed in the streets and in the grocery store and all of that, and we celebrate that. But I want you to share a moment. This is not in the questions, but this is something that you wrote in the foreword of the book you were talking about. You talked about, I believe you met Arthur Wallace, correct me if I'm wrong, and you were talking to him about really contending for a greater baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're gonna dive in a moment and talk about the Jesus path, but I feel like this is such an essential concept. Can you share a little bit about your meeting with him? Because he wrote In the Day of Thy Power, a great revivalist. Talk about your conversation with him and why it's important for us, even though we've got the Holy Spirit and even though we're seeing what we're seeing, why is it important that we contend and cry out for more?
This is a great question, Larry, and I think the light of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the full day. I was speaking, Arthur Wallace, the father of the charismatic movement in England.
Yeah,
he came to our church, and I was so hungry for more of God and so dissatisfied with what I've experienced in God. And I went to him, and I said, you know, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm not satisfied. And he said, did you receive anything when you received the Holy Spirit? I said, oh, yes, but I long for more. And he said, then keep hungering for more. I too am a candidate for a greater baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe, even recently talking with Bill Johnson said, Now, he's the father, in many ways, the father of this present, you know, revival is in you.
Yes.
Everywhere people are doing signs and wonders. But he said, we are not content with the ordinary miracles. Mm-hmm. He said, we are tending for the extraordinary miracles of Acts 19. And then he said, and he's even called the Bethel people. He said, we need to fast and pray for the double portion. I had a dream about him that he was contending for the double portion, and I was to lay my right hand on his shoulder, and I knew in the dream it was my fastings and prayer, the strength of my calling. I was to put my fasting and prayer behind the healing movement so it break out that everywhere many women say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We got to keep going for more. Christ in us is already there in fullness, in the hope of glory. But I think he's looking for more of us.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I hope I can continue this interview. I'm getting a little blasted, as they would say in the vineyard days. But that so reflects the cry of so many. Because again, you said it so beautifully, Lou. We've received the fullness, but are we releasing the fullness? Are we seeing as much of God release and manifest in the earth through us as possible?
Yes.
And the answer, obviously the answer is no, we're not seeing the fullness, but that's not to make us feel bad. That's to make us just hunger and whet our appetite to cry out for more. And that perfectly transitions to this wonderful book that you and Dean Briggs wrote, The Jesus Fast. And just to let our listeners know, just like Arthur Wallace's book in the day of that power really ignited so many people to cry out for more, gave them a picture of revival, and gave us language to put to revival. Lou, I believe this beautiful book that you and Dean put together gives language to a new generation. Bill Johnson and his endorsement, I love what he called it. It's a dangerous book, and I'll tell you why it's dangerous. Because what happens is when you get a vision for revival, when you get a vision for what could be, what is available, not pie in the sky, not out there maybe someday in the millennium, but when you get a vision of what could be through the means that God has given us, prayer and fasting, these ancient means that God has given us, what will happen, Lou, I see this book not only getting into people's hands, I see it getting into their hearts, and really wrecking them and saying, you know what, it is possible. It is possible for us to press into this fasted lifestyle so we can actually see the fullness of God released, and we're going to contend for that in our generation. So all that to say, let me ask you this. What compelled you to write this book, and why do you feel like that this book is really a due season book for now?
Well, I have been involved in seasons of 40-day fastings, not all on water, but in every one of those seasons, God has broken through into my life and birthed a whole new era of my own prophetic history. I know the power of it. I fasted 31 days for my son. I'd lost his heart. And on the 31st day, he started getting dreams, and God began to come to him. I got my son back. I think it's time for the Elijahs to fast their 40 days and get the double portion of sons back. It was many years ago that I had lost two books that were dynamic for me. One book was Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting by Derek Prince.
Yeah.
It was my book that said that nations will change through fasting and prayer. The other one was The Day of Your Power by Arthur Wallace.
Mm.
And I lost those two books. And I was groaning all day long looking for those books because there was a chapter about the latter rain and that fasting precipitates the latter rain. And so that night I went to this church out in the desert and I was groaning, where could I find The Day of Your Power? A pastor walks up to the bookshelf and says, Luke, come here. He knows nothing. He says, the Lord told me you're looking for this book. And it was The Day of Your Power. And I know that God was that fasting precipitates the day of power. I went on a 40 fast some time ago, and I had received a dream in which my belly was being operated on. That God, you want me to be like Daniel, with my belly operated on, that I would fast to shift the history of nations. I went into this 40-day fast. In the middle of it, this lady emailed me, and she said, I had a dream last night. You were sleeping in this place, and you were fasting. And in the dream, five angels came into your bedroom, and they operated on your belly, and they took the book of Daniel, and they set it on fire and sealed it into your belly. And then all these young people came to you, and they were called the Sons of Thunder. I know that God said, I'm releasing the fastings of Jesus for the double portion, signs and wonders and miracles of the Jesus movement. Jesus fasted 40 days, and it unleashed the greatest apostolic era. Read history. 70 years ago, a book called Atomic Power to Prayer and Fasting erupted and exploded all over the earth. That was 1946. It 47, the healing revivals begin. 48, the latter rain outpourings and outpourings of the Spirit. 1948, Bill Bright. 1949, Billy Graham's explosion takes place. 48, Israel becomes a nation. I believe that 1946 and 7 and 8, there was a global Joel 2 movement that led to an Acts 2 movement. And 70 years are up. I think it's time for us to birth another Daniel movement to bring us into a new era of the third great awakening and worldwide revivals and signs and wonders and what God wants to do in Israel. That's where we're at now.
I believe that. Oh, Lou, I totally agree. And I see this book really, again, getting into people and giving them a vision for that and what that looks like. And, you know, as you were talking about the years that preceded what we saw in Billy Graham and Bill Bright, I have to wonder myself, going back to the Moravians and this 100-year prayer movement that they had, I wonder how much of that was birthed in the place of prayer. We see that after that, we see the Great Awakenings, we see the Welsh Revival, we see Azusa Street. I wonder, out of this place of labor and prayer and fasting, just like you're talking about, the divine connection between what happens in that secret place and then what we ultimately see on the world stage. It's amazing. And so let me ask you this.
Azusa was preceded by long fastings of a man named Frank Bartleman in Pasadena. Long fasting with William Seymour, the African-American man that led that revival. It was preceded, Azusa was preceded by 10 days of fasting and prayer. Go read history. It always precedes. You can't say it always, but massive prayers, but fasting. I've read the history. They precede the great breakthroughs of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. And I think that's beautiful. And you think, when we think of the Azusa Street Revival, we often think of William Seymour. Maybe secondarily, we think of Charles Parham. We think of other people that were associated in those early days of Pentecost. But you're so right, Lou, with Frank Bartleman. I wonder how many Frank Bartlemans that the Lord is raising up even now, who they may not be like the Steve Hill of the Brownsville Revival. They may not be like Randy Clark, where these, you know, Randy and Steve are kind of the harvesters. But no less is the Frank Bartleman, who is in the secret place in the prayer chamber, crying out and contending for it. Ultimately, you know, we saw in Brownsville, what we've seen in Toronto, what we're seeing more and more, and I feel like that's almost escalating. I feel like we're just seeing an increase of that. And I would just want to ask you to talk to us for a minute. What is the practice of extended prayer and fasting look like? Because I know you talk about that in the Jesus fast, and some people might be curious, okay, what does it mean, an extended time of prayer and fasting?
Well, you extended fast are different kinds of extended fast. Obviously, you can do 10 days. They were up in the upper room. They were probably fasting because they were reading the book of Joel. And you have the breakout of the Gentiles out of Antioch, where they fasted and ministered to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit opened the door to the Gentiles. Then you have the 21-day fast of Daniel, that actually principalities were warring with archangels, and his fast shifted a whole era. This is stunning to me. It shifts a whole era and releases the exiles back home. This is stunning to me, Larry. It's stunning that Elijah fasted 40 days and had a spiritual son named Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Elijah fasted 40 days on water. These are on water. Fasted 40 days, had a spiritual son named Elisha, which means the Lord saves. And John the Baptist fasted his whole life on a meager diet and has a spiritual son named Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Could it be that the fasting and praying fathers are releasing the double portion sons and daughters, the signs and wonders and evangelism movement? So fasting is actually really, literally, it's to cover your mouth. It's to go without food. You can do juice fasts or Daniel fasts, but I've always found that in extended fasting, God opens our ears and gives us the bread of heaven. In Jesus' 40-day fast, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When we fast in extended fasting, we make our lives a landing strip for revelation. We actually begin to get bread from heaven, and we get assignments from heaven and breakthroughs. I don't know if that's answering your question, but Bill Bright called 2 million believers to 40-day fast in the 1990s on water. And millions and thousands at least went on these fasts. I believe it shifted history. And that anointing of fasting is coming again. Maybe I'll tell one more story. One man came to me and asked, Lou, would you pray for me for the grace of fasting? I prayed for him. He said, Lou, I could not eat for 40 days. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon me.
Wow.
There is a place of fasting. The last time I heard, he raised the dead. I tell you, it's the interesting power of God.
Wow. And again, for those of you who are listening, I've read this book, The Jesus Fast, and what it'll do for you in a very unique way is, I know at initial, when you initially hear about fasting or somebody preaches about fasting, immediately we think of what we're depriving ourselves of. We think of depriving myself of food, of media. What I love about Lou's book, The Jesus Fast, is it's not a matter of what you're depriving yourself of. What it does is it lifts your eyes to see superior pleasures. You know, we think of ourselves as, I'm denying this, I'm giving up this. The reality is we settle so often for these inferior things, and this is an invitation to actually go into a realm of superior pleasures with God. And ultimately, you get a vision for what is a catalyst, fasting being a catalyst for breakthrough, for the release of the supernatural. For we want to see more of God released in earth through us. I believe what's going to happen is this book is going to give you a vision, unlike ever before, of what fasting does and of how God wants to use you, like Lou was talking about, as a landing strip for revelation, for the prophetic, for signs and wonders, really for his power to be released through you. So, Lou, you've really given us a vision with this book, and I think it's going to really get into people.
I love what you said about superior pleasures. In fact, you'll really have difficulty fasting unless you have your mindset on the superior pleasure of having an encounter with God, or a superior pleasure of shifting something in your family. And ultimately, this book is about, it's not just about just individual shifts, it's about shifts for nations. What happens when thousands start fasting, extended fasting, looking for a breakthrough, a shift? We saw it, we've seen political leaders removed from office when thousands went on shifts. God is going to challenge the power centers of the earth with the company that get into heavenly places in united fasting and prayer experientially. I've seen it in my own life. What happens when many women fast and pray and actually rebuke diseases from that anointing where we get a breakthrough? I've seen it happen, oh, brothers and sisters. Derek Richard's book is shaping history through prayer and fasting. I never wanted to play for a losing team. I want to see the church win mighty victories, and I believe united corporate fasting and extended fasting is the supreme weapon. It is the atomic weapon for breaking through.
Wow. And again, I read this book, and this is very strange because, you know, you read books about fasting, and it's like, okay, I got to go. You know, it changes your language from I've got to go on a fast to I actually want to go. Does your body respond to things? Absolutely. But there is this drive. I believe the book actually carries an impartation. That grace of fasting that Lou was talking about, because this is an urgent hour. This is an urgent hour, and we have this divine opportunity to participate in a great landscape-shifting move of God. So let me, as we kind of finish our time together, Lou, let me ask you this. Can you tell us just briefly about what you see God doing in this coming revival, and how can people get involved with this Azusa Now event that's coming up in Los Angeles?
I think there's coming a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I believe that we should be expecting and praying for a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit to sweep our land again. Number two, and when he comes, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." I'm expecting that millions are going to begin to behold the Lamb of God and get saved. That's what we're expecting. We're expecting a baptism of love, that Jesus begins to unify his body, where we're not pointing the finger at one another, accusing and speaking against other movements. We are going to let go of our slaves. We're going to free everyone that we've had bitterness toward. There's going to be a mass release. I believe there's coming a jubilee for the church of great freedom from bitterness and pain. I believe Jesus is coming with Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. I believe that we're going to see a great upheaval when God begins to raise up leaders in every sphere of society and challenge the powers through their humility, their fasting, their prayers, and their revelation. We are in a great day, and I believe it will loose the greatest missions movement to the unreached people groups to finish the task. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And Lou, for Azusa Now, how can people get involved in that, and really what will that event look like?
Yes, I would encourage you. We've just begun 40 days. This is the second day into this 40-day fast, right into April 9th, the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. We are praying for the 100-year prophecy of William Seymour. This is how you can get involved. Join with fasting and prayer. Go to the website, AzusaNow2016.com, AzusaNow2016.com, and join a 100-day prayer journal praying every day for William Seymour's prophecy that in 100 years a revival far eclipsing Azusa would take place. But secondly, we would encourage you to actually go and come to Azusa. There are moments of time when he calls his people together. We would encourage you. It begins at 7 o'clock in the morning. Get there early. Make sure you're getting hotels and you register, because hotels are filling up. We're seeing registrations, 1,000 registrations a day right now. Something is buzzing in this nation right now. We feel a stirring of the unity of the body of Christ. So go to the website, get registered, and come. And if you can't come, join us in prayer and fasting, and let's move together. From 7 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be praying the unity of the body. We're bringing the different streams together to flow into one river. The appeal to heaven with Dutch sheets is going to be unleashed that day with tens of thousands of people. We're crying out that God would restore Azusa. We're praying for the African-American community, that they would, like William Seymour, unleash a great revival in the inner city. And then we're going to do signs and wonders in the preaching of the gospel night, and that night ending at 10:30. Thank you, Larry, for letting me be on this phone call.
Oh, absolutely, Lou. And we're behind you in this 100%. I will be at the Azusa Now event, and we're believing that this is something that God is going to use to really shift the nation and the nations of the earth. And the name of the book is The Jesus Fast. I would strongly encourage you guys to pick up a copy. And really the best way you can do that is you can go to Azusa. You can go to the website AzusaNow2016.com. And there's actually a store there, and you can pick up the Jesus Fast there. We believe that book is going to give you a real blueprint for what it looks like to pray and contend for a powerful outpouring of the Spirit. So we do pray for all of our listeners right now that you would be filled with that spirit of contending and crying out for the more of God. We're grateful for what he's done. We celebrate what he's done in the last 110 years. But we know when we read Scripture that there's more, and that's our prayer over your life, that you would cry out and contend for the more in Jesus' name.
This has been the Voice of Destiny, your trusted source for the latest spirit-filled resources for your everyday life. Thanks again for listening.